morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our City Council workshop. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, 2019. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clifton.
Present.
Councilmember Brancino.
Here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Present.
Councilmember Howell.
Here.
Mayor Holland is absent.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, first item is public participation. If you would like to participate, please approach the podium and state your name for the record in about 3 minutes to address the council.
I have a packet of information for Virginia to distribute. City Council, my name is Ray Peter, and I'm the area manager of the Florida Small Business Development Center here in Palm Coast. And I'm asking the council to reconsider the cancellation and termination of the contract that they have with the Florida Small Business Development Center. Over the course of last 9 years, established in 2011, we've enjoyed a very strong relationship with the City of Palm Coast. And quite honestly, the contract that was initially proposed for $81,000 has actually been reduced, and a second offering of $60,000 to the City of Palm Coast. The question is, what do you get for $60,000? You get two consultants with over 60 years of corporate experience and small business owners working with small businesses in Palm Coast to assist them in growing and managing their business. On top of that, we are state certified consultants in financial planning and management and system programming management. We also bring to the table a set of tools, $10,000 worth of research and analytic tools that assist in the deep dive with businesses across this whole city and county. And we also engage in community activity as well. Work with Chamber, we work with Flagler High School and the hospital. But that's not a question of what we do and what you know, all the things that of the people have to offer, the individuals, myself and my counterpart. What are the results? Since 2014, we met with 627 individual clients. We last 18 months, we met with 260 clients. We helped generate, along with them, nearly $4.3 million worth of capital raised and investments from our clients in the last year. Total in the program, over $34 million invested. If we do not have this program and be able to move this forward, we're going to be a detriment to the local businesses. The businesses that we actually help that I can itemize right now: Smoothie King, Dell's Garage, Gus's Auto, Benchmark Glass, Picasso, Picture Perfect, Channel Side, CrossFit Bear Kit, Painting with a Twist, Clean Eats, Bed Tops, Castle Therapy, Dr. Paint, and Rider Performance and Twisted Minds Escape Room. Just a few of the customers. All of the things that we are doing here to assist the local businesses and the City of Palm Coast. If we're not given that opportunity, we might as well put out a sign and say, Palm Coast is done for business. We're not business friendly. The perception is over. The reality has set in. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good morning, Council. My name is Steve Sherman. My wife actually owns Twisted Mind Escape Rooms. I got a call from Ray yesterday, found out about this, and decided that I need to come out and say something. We were going to close our doors yesterday. They helped us get capital. They were able to find ways for us to be able to get involved with some SBA microloans and stuff that we need. They helped us get through this town from day one and bring entertainment, new entertainment and stuff into Palm Coast. It was probably the best thing we could have gone through by dealing with them. I have a friend of mine that actually owns another escape room in Ormond. He attempted to come to this town 3 times, didn't know about the SBDC. and he wasn't able to get it done. So they provide a lot of benefit and guidance through the town, helping to get businesses started, directing us in the place that we go, as well as ongoing commitment to us. So when we need things with business plans, investors, helping to find funds, they've been there for us. Is this a business-friendly town? Are we looking for small businesses? Are we looking for them to grow? I've had signs out. They get pulled down. We have things. Are we trying to build a community, strengthen it, so, you know, give a supply to people that are demanding it? 46 people a week are moving into the county. There's things that they need. They need entertainment. They need food. They need restaurants. They need gas stations. They need tires. As people are coming here, those jobs are going to open up. It's going to create new employment. This is a group right here that honestly is one of the huge, huge assets for you guys. And I think cutting funding or getting rid of that would really be a big mistake. So, thank you guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Next speaker. All good. All right, I'll go ahead and close public comment. I appreciate the comments that the BAC and the businesses that we've been had a positive impact on. What we're going to be doing is bringing those services internally, so we'll be trying to provide the same, if not superior, services, and certainly we'll have measurable data that we'll be able to act upon to ensure that we're still providing the necessities to our business and small business owners of Palm Coast and the greater Flagler County area that they deserve. So I appreciate that. Okay, moving on to Section E, presentations. The first presentation is going to be the fiscal year 2020 final proposed budget with all the appropriated funds.
Today we're going to go over the budget as a whole. We've had several budget presentations where we've gone over the different pieces. We've done our general fund, the proprietary funds, at the last workshop, the CIP, and all remaining funds. So today is going to be all encompassing all the funds. And we will come back for the first public hearing on September 4th, where we will go over the budget as a whole again. We'd like to remind City Council and the public that the final public hearing is scheduled for September 18th at 5:00. As we've seen in the past, we're going to be showing how the budget addresses City Council priorities, any personnel changes, the 2020 budget as a summary, and then the budget by fund. Now, because we have seen these before, we won't necessarily go slide by slide unless City Council has questions. This is the outline of the priorities, what is funded in the general fund and what is funded in other special revenue funds. And here's a look of our 2020 proposed budget. As you can see, increases are majorly in the capital funds. There is $6 million in utility capital projects fund, almost $5 million in the stormwater fund, and that's related to the enhanced stormwater project that was adopted by City Council, and the streets improvement fund, recreation impact fee, and transportation. And we will go over these in a little bit more detail, but that represents the bulk of the 20% increase. Start with the general fund. We're proposing a 7% change in revenues with a contingency of $585,000. This is a breakdown of our revenues. The largest share, of course, is related to ad valorem. We haven't seen much growth in the state-related revenues. As you can see, there's a natural decrease in the communication services tax, which is something that we've experienced throughout the state. Our general fund expenditures by category, as you can see, 7% increase across the board, with the largest share going to public safety and streets and parks maintenance. Proprietary funds, we'll start with utility operating fund. When we presented this to City Council, the increases that we're facing in this fund are related to cost of materials, cost of chemicals, and operating costs. This is the utility capital project five-year plan. If you have any project-specific questions, Richard can speak to these, but we're basically following the five-year plan as far as projects are concerned. Look at our stormwater fund. As you can see, there are debt proceeds budgeted for 2020, and we will be coming back to City Council either later in September or early in October with the debt options. We are working with the financial advisor to bring you the options, and that's the debt that is accommodated in the rate study for the enhanced program. Here you look at the five-year plan.
My only comment would be that when we're spending this money, we have to make sure that we continue to tell our community how we're spending the money, because a lot of these enhanced programs are really important and have impact on people's lives, as long as that they're knowledgeable about how we're spending their money in a reasonable manner.
Yep, and this was outlined as a priority for the community.
What's the payback schedule for the borrowed money for this year's budget for the stormwater plan?
For 2020?
I know we're looking at options.
We're still looking at options. We're working with a financial advisor, but basically there will be two components to the note. It'll be a equipment portion that, of course, will be shorter term because we don't want to go over the life of the equipment, and then the improvements will go over longer. So it will be anywhere from 10 to 20 years, or a mix of the two. Look at our building permits fund, just related to growth, really.
Yep.
The IT technology enterprise fund, this is where we are accounting for the fiber and cell tower revenues. Once again, 2020 is going to be the first year that we are not using these revenues to subsidize the internal service portion of IT operations. They will stay within the enterprise fund. This is just our contract for solid waste. I look at our internal services funds. So these are the funds that support the different departments. So the revenue going into these funds is coming from the different divisions. Let's start with internal service. This was a fund that was created first in 2019, the split between enterprise and internal services. This year will be self-sufficient. So you'll see the change in the internal allocations from the departments. The communications fund is where we've been saving money for the upgrade to the emergency communications radio system that is expected to occur in 2020. This is a look at our fleet fund. The majority of the increase, of course, is in capital expenditures. This fund collects from all the different departments to replace fleet as it's necessary. As you can see, it also includes the replacement of the ladder truck that the chief spoke about at our last workshop. This is a detail of what's included in the fleet purchases.
Heaven forbid that we have another hurricane event this year too. Somebody should help with cleanup as well, right?
I don't want a hurricane right now. This is to maintain city facilities, and again, it's internal allocations to the different divisions. This is our health insurance plan. A look at our capital projects funds. This is the half-cent sales tax, the small county surtax, and these are the proposed budgets. Right now, per City Council's direction, the focus is on the public works facility and how we accelerate the program. Transportation impact fee, that accounts for an increase in the budget, and that's because of the Old Kings Road widening and extension project being budgeted for 2020. As you can see in the highlights, those are projects that are funded, you know, in portion by grants. That's why they're highlighted in that light color. Streets Improvement Plan Fund. This is where we fund the pavement program. As you can see, we're budgeted for 2020, but only leaving a fund balance carryover of about $4,700. So we're still looking ahead at 2021. There is a funding need for the pavement program. It goes from 1.6 to 2 million thereafter. So we're fully funded for 2020, but we'll have to continue analyzing 2021.
And the parkway beautification, that would be partially funded by grants?
Yes.
Okay.
So it looks like the grant is $100,000 and that is $110,000, so we will have a $10,000 contribution. Recreation impact fee. This one is slightly different than what you saw at your last workshop because a grant opportunity for the Lehigh Trailhead was proposed to the city, so we amended the budget to reflect that. Fire impact fees, same as the recreation impact fees. We're currently contracted to study the impact fees, and once we have those results, bring back the city council and any budget amendments accordingly. State Board 100 CRA, we're focusing on the marketing within the innovation district, part of city council's priorities. We also have the payback of the Kickstart program. And debt service in this fund. Special revenue funds, we put them all up in the slides to look at revenues and then expenditures because these are small funds. As you can see, there's not a lot of activity and there certainly hasn't been any changes since our last budget workshop. Those were the revenues, and here's a look at the expenditures. Look at our millage rate. We are proposing the same millage rate as in fiscal year 2019, and the maximum millage rate that was approved by City Council in July was at 4.6989, and our proposed fiscal year 2020 is a 4.6989. I'd like to remind City Council and the public that our public hearings are coming up. Wednesday, September 4th, will be the first public hearing at 5:05 here at City Hall. And the final public hearing will be on September 18th at 5:05 here at City Hall. Does anybody have any questions?
Council?
Yeah, I have one question. And having put together many budgets in the federal government, I know that the section heads, when they're planning what their needs are for the next years, sometimes they tend to put a little cushion in there, an X factor, okay? And I would ask all of our department heads to really take a final look at your budget with the eye on maybe reducing it, if at all possible. You know, let's take out that extra factor, because sometimes what happens, as you well know, as we close the end of the fiscal year, I know in my experience in the military, the obligated funds better be 100% by the beginning of September. Every item in your budget had to be obligated. And then what happens is July starts rolling into August, and then we're looking at our balance in our budget. Well, we know that we're not going to expend. We can't, for some reasons or other. You know, we have too much excess. And so it becomes a mad scramble. You know, let's go back to our comptroller and say, well, here, you know, give it to some other department. And then what happens is departments will go on a shark feast, you know, with the bait in there, buying stupid stuff just to obligate the money, okay? And I got to admit, hey, you know, from time to time, I did the same thing because that's the way the game was played. We can't afford to do that at this level. Every penny counts. And again, I know that the sheriff had a request, and We can't meet that and at this particular time, but I just want to make sure that all of you to put together your budget consciously can say, I did it right, and I'm not cheating the system.
Yeah, try to avoid that use it or lose it situation.
Yeah, right. You know, and you know that's happening. I mean, it's reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just budgeted in my department. I had a responsibility for $125 million, and so you know that's when you're forecasting what you think you need, and that's basically what it is. It's a forecast based on your research. So you know you got a good eye too, and I would encourage you to take another fine scrub just to make picking sure that we're good. You know. When I looked at the, would you go back to the, was it millage rate or the trim, yeah, we're equal, the trim rate, your last line, I think it was? All the way at the end there, you know, where we were, like last year and this year, perceptionally, it looks like, well, you know, we haven't really increased, but we have. Not, but there it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, okay. To somebody that's not budget-wise, you look at that and you say, well, okay, hey, they stay the same. But we know that that's not totally the perception. And I just want to make sure that the people understand, too. And I know that all of us here are trying to do the right thing by holding spending. And being accountable to the taxpayer, our boss.
Just to add to that a little bit, I think we had an estimated 2019 budget mm-hmm. of 153, and once amended, came to 167 million. So the amendments was about 13 to 14 million.
Now, one other thing, because you're the wizard with the numbers, Arlene. And the question I have is, and this kind of falls in your area of expertise with bringing in Mr. Cuey, are we going to now start seeing revenue come in from our smart city efforts here with the wire, you know, the cable that we've all done and trying to sell our services? I would hope. And of course, that's a total big question mark. We don't know what we can get. Because now we got a guy that knows what he's doing.
Yep. Those wheels are rolling. Indeed. Yeah. It won't be immediate.
It'll be phased. But you know, I would look at that to reduce the taxes because we have another source of income.
Oh yeah, increasing revenue is always a good thing.
You know, so we got to get on Mr. Cuey. You know, get them sales there, Donald.
Working on it. It'll come very hard.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you for indulging this whole day.
Any other questions, Mr. Cook?
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Okay, moving on. The next item is item two, is a resolution approving fiscal year 2019-2020 City Council priorities. Morning, James.
Morning, Mr. City Council. So this is a companion presentation to the one you just saw about the budget. Of course, we're in our final strides of budget adoption. And what this presentation does is give City Council another opportunity to discuss with staff, as always, their priorities. This is how we make policy a reality. So past and present adopted priorities reviewed to ensure that value added aligns with City Council's direction. Council's been very clear on what they expect for the next fiscal year. And so we basically translate that into an exhibit, and that's what we're here to discuss today. Those priorities that are adopted, we're already working on them. We have what's called an action agenda. The action agenda actually is a reflection of our work plan that is going to take each policy priority and make it a reality. And of course, in the budget presentation you just saw, You saw the budget implications. There's many more priorities are listed in your exhibit. We've established that the actions taken can become operational within staff means and not specifically a direct impact to the general fund or other funds. All performance measures are currently being evaluated on our third quarter progress reports. So again, we want to make sure that we're bringing value added to what we're tracking and making sure that we're keeping the priorities at the forefront. So with that said, we've basically consolidated the priorities in seven focus areas, and that's generally what we've heard from the merit of your feedback, what you saw in your exhibits, and we just want to give an opportunity for council to give any further direction on those priorities in your exhibit, and all the managing staff is here today to get that feedback before we move to adoption next week. And you've seen these many times over. We decided that we didn't need to go through 31 independently, but if there's anything that you saw in the exhibit that you wanted to talk about, anything that you're wondering how we're approaching, all the staff is here in the audience to give ample time to that discussion.
You know, the one thing that I'm really trying to push big time is the streetlights. And I understand that, you know, while we have the funding and everything, the albatross around our neck is FPNL because they have other priorities. And I know they're working on their LED lights and this and that, but however, we're a customer. And we need this. We need this to prevent crime, especially in some of our areas where it's pitch black out there at night, you know? And that's a tactical advantage for those that would do us harm. So is there a way that we can push FPNL? You know, they're not all that powerful when you really get to the right people. That's the bottom line. We got to get to the right people to hear our request. So I would ask staff to entertain that, you know.
One problem that I think in some of the pitch black parts of Columbus are like deep in the neighborhoods, right?
Yeah.
And I catch it from both sides. I get people who are totally, we need lights, we need street lights, and they'll pay the $10 for the FPL light to go up. But then,
right,
sure enough, a few days later, I get the next door neighbors who are saying, who put the street light up on the corner? I just had something happen off a cross view, same type of thing.
Yeah.
And now it's blinding into other people's light, windows and bedrooms and such. So do you get that type of feedback?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the bottom line is I hear you, but, you know, that's kind of like your eyes have been accustomed to the dark.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're lightening it up, and you have to adjust. But the bottom line is it's a safety issue. And I think a safety issue kind of oversees your personal preference, you know, and it's for the good of the community. So that's, you know,
it's stimulating, absolutely.
Right, you know, I mean, we budgeted for it, and I just want to take the tactical advantage away from the bad guys.
And we pay enough to FPNL that we should be a priority. I think everyone can agree on that, right?
Right. I have a street light in front of my house that I paid for over 20 years until the place started to build up. But, you know, bottom line is, hey, you know, as a former Marine, and working in that environment, you know, nighttime and rain, that was my element, you know, to work in. But I'm not a bad guy. These guys that are out there doing crime and whatnot, they're bad guys, and they're going to take advantage of everything that they can. So that's my only concern. We need to push FPNL. We've got the funding. Now we just got to find the person in FPNL that will work with us. You know, so he doesn't want to make me hunt him down, or she, or it. You know, don't make me find you, I will.
I just have two questions regarding the business-friendly initiative. What are we doing regarding this matter? And is this an admission that we haven't been business-friendly in the past?
Mr. Del Renzo is going to come up and share some of the thoughts on how we're approaching that.
Good morning, Vice Mayor of City Council. So we're early in our approach, but we have outlined several items. where we feel that we can get quite a bit better. We're looking at all our processes, from all the way from permit intake all the way through planning and at each level. We've started having our first stakeholder meetings to identify gaps in our process. That went really well. Last week we had our first one. Our next one's September the 12th with the planning folks. We have a really nice layout of what we think we need to do. I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me to give you some more of the details to it, but we are working on it.
But we have identified those gaps.
Yeah, we are starting working on our building ones. We have our planning ones coming up. The stakeholders have been very helpful. They've been really working with us. We are looking to get more efficient.
As long as we recognize we have a problem, we could work in it.
Yeah, and you know, once we flesh out some more of it, you know, we'll be able to give you some more information.
Please.
Thank you.
Hey, Jason.
Yes.
There's an old saying, we're quick to criticize, but slow to recognize. And in your situation right now, I got some really attaboys on how the attitudes have completely changed. A couple contractors who do a lot of work with the city tell me it's a pleasure to come in here now and do the permitting and whatever else they do, so keep it up.
Well, thank you very much, man. And we've been trying to add a more personal touch, but that's not the big picture for what we're trying to achieve. We know that we have, you know, systems to improve, and you know, so we're working towards that. But we're a little early in the process, but we have an outline for how we're going to get there, what we're trying to achieve, and you know, I'm confident we'll be able.
Please
to
keep us updated.
Yes, sir.
Well, I was going to add, I don't know if it helps the conversation, but to your point, Councilman, we're approaching it from the culture, and we're approaching it from the organizational seat standpoint, who's doing what functions, efficiency. We're approaching it from the technology end. We're approaching it from the process flow end. And we're really looking at this as a holistic to make sure that our experiences that our good customers, that customers are having, are scalable, they're repeatable, and they result in measurable efficiency. So we're really coming at it from that angle. It'll be a few months. It's a big process, but we're well underway.
So I'm happy that we recognize that we had a problem and we worked in fixing it. That's what we're here for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other topics do we want to hit on? Mr. Cuff, do you have anything you want to talk about?
It's all top priority.
Yes, number one. It is nice that we've homogenized them down to 7 instead of the 31 top priorities. These categorical cards are much more easy to consume.
Wondering why the street lighting is a and the smart city initiative is the light bulb, but that's okay.
we're an efficient enough organization to handle a mixed metaphor.
I'd rather say a lightning kind of thing there.
Only you keep on going on.
Excellent. Yep. Okay.
Our next steps is adoption of the priorities next Tuesday, and we will be coming back to you at intervals of updating how we're doing on your priorities, and that'll come maybe as a quarterly update or a project-specific update. As I stated earlier, even previous to this adoption process, we're already working on these initiatives.
Excellent. And I'd also encourage what I'd like to set up is, I don't want to put Mr. Kule on the spot today, but perhaps a meeting in the future, we can get an overview and recap of kind of the progress that we've made up until this point on the Smart City and Fiber initiatives. I don't want to put him on the spot right now. I'd like to be a little more prepared, but I think that would be great as well.
See, he and I have something in common that I didn't know before, so I know he'll forgive it because we both got our master's degrees from Pepperdine University. So excuse us.
Yeah. Pinky out, right?
That's right.
That's right. Thank you very much, Denise. Okay, moving on. Item 3 is a resolution approving expenses associated with Phase 1 of the Indian Trail Sports Complex Field 1 and 2 conversion.
Good morning, Vice Mayor and Council.
we're back here today to discuss Indian Trail Sports Complex field modifications. We had looked at converting fields 1 and 2 from multi-use fields to baseball softball fields. We're looking to see if it was technically feasible to fit those fields on that existing area. It would increase playability and capacity for the community users and create ability to host statewide and national tournaments. With this proposed conversion and improvements, we'd be able to have 2 junior-senior baseball fields, 3 major-minor baseball fields, and 3 major-minor softball fields, with the softball fields being able to be utilized for baseball with a portable pitching mound. So it adds quite a bit of capacity by making this conversion. But to implement the program, we'd have to do it in phases. The initial phase has already begun. We were in the progress of looking at fields 1 and 2 to do some enhancements, and with some proposed reallocation of existing funds from projects we had at Indian Trails, we would be able to ship those dollars and be able to construct 2 fields at this time and 2 T-ball fields with the potential to add lighting modification. We're working with our lighting rep, and the existing lights need to be modified to be able to accommodate baseball. As a future phase to be worked into our capital improvement plan, we'll be able to come back and convert the T-ball fields to full baseball fields, add the additional fencing and dugouts and associated elements, and light the fields. In addition, we'll be able to expand the parking lot with the new configuration. It provides an area adjacent to the parking lot, kind of in this zone here, for adding potentially up to 100 parking spots. It would make it adjacent to all the baseball fields. It's something that's been requested highly by the users of baseball. That's something that's going to be reviewed when we get into the design phase of the project.
Get the bleacher covers. Parents will thank you for that.
Yeah, those are all the nice to haves, getting the fields in first and making something playable, but that's the future phases to cover everything. Correct.
And we did want to share with you this morning the scheduled tournament impact. None of our tournaments are going away. The organizations will use the 8 fields at Indian Trails plus off-site fields with access to additional fields with our partners at Flagler County Parks and Recreation. And if they wanted to stay exclusively to Indian Trails, then the tournament will adjust the number of teams for field availability.
Really, just to summarize in our next steps, just to go over the past council action for this current fiscal year that was already underway, was $150,000 improvement for resodding and some drainage improvements for fields 1 and 2. We currently put that project on hold pending concurrence to proceed with the field conversion. So we're here today to get approval to, one, proceed with the field conversion, the initial phase, and to reallocate existing funding in our CIP of $220,000 for the additional costs associated with converting those fields.
Question. Not about baseball.
About soccer?
No, not about soccer. But about football. You know, Mad Dog people. You know, they're looking for a place, and that should be on your radar, is all I'm saying. I'm looking at everything on baseball, and that's great. But, you know, and I just hope that we're not hurting the T-ball crew by doing some conversions. Either that, or we start beefing those little ones up so they can hit a grand slam, you know, and they can play on the regular size court. But yeah, you're doing what people want.
And hopefully the soccer rec leagues aren't impacted too much. I know it's only 2 fields, but hopefully that they'll be able to offset somewhere else as well.
Yes, soccer is staying at Indian Trails for recreational play. They're only using 3 or 4 fields during the week, and we're accommodating Mad Dogs flag football at Rolf Carter. They'll be there 6 days a week.
Get those kids doing 2-day practices, right?
Yeah, right.
Next year, it's in the works. I think we're going to have a semi-professional soccer team coming in. Actually, they're starting already with the practice and all of that, but it's only next year. But they're not going to be able to use any of our fields. because they require like a 4,000 bleachers for people, of course, and that's going to be have to be done in one of the schools, but it's still going to be Palm Coast, and it's going to be, I think, very good for us. Okay. It's already in the works. They were here the other day. I introduced them to the to Lorraine, and I think that within the measure of the possibilities, you're going to be very cooperative, which, especially in guidance. There's nothing we're going to be able to do because we don't have the things for it, but guidance is going to be very special. Thanks to them anyway.
And shifting the funding around wasn't too big of an issue. Are we going to be losing anything out of this? Or
no, we had slated looking at resodding the sports complex, the baseball fields, actually. So we're just shifting those dollars to the field conversion.
Gotcha.
And we were going to cover some bleachers, some shade covering. So some of those amenities are just put off to future years.
Fair. Mr. Kell, anything? Play ball?
No. I'd like to see the data on the tournaments for soccer. You know, I had several local businesses tell me they couldn't keep up with the capacity for the elite tournament this past weekend for food service and other things that bring in, you know, sales tax dollars, which is the rationale for accommodating those kinds of tournaments, as far as I understand it. So if we can keep those, we don't chase them away, give priority to the local teams and leagues, I think is the way to go. But we need to keep a balance. I mean, we've got other stuff besides T-ball, softball, baseball. We've got flag football. We've got, you know, I'd like to see the Quidditch come back here for at least one.
Me too.
Pickleball.
But, you know, until we get the high hoops, they're not going to come here with the big teams. We're only going to get the intramural stuff. So.
Exactly. We're looking for the Major League Quidditch League, right?
Yeah. Semi-pro.
Semi-pro.
But anyway, no, but sounds like a plan.
Excellent.
I'm excited about that thing next year, that semi-professional, because that's, you know, the kids that play well here, they're going to stay local instead of trying to go other places to play high-level world soccer.
And we have that level of caliber player here. It's awesome.
Absolutely,
I'm one of my coworkers who's a big play Division I soccer, and I get the insight into the level of competitiveness and the level of skill that some of these kids have. Awesome. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Lauren. Moving on to item 4, it's a resolution approving the collective bargaining agreement with IAFF Local 4807. Morning, Debbie.
So, quick presentation on the changes or updates that we have with the prior bargaining agreement that we finally come to terms with. This is for fiscal year 2018 through 21. We are late in the game. I took over in June and immediately got with the fire department and started negotiations. So the first article that we made an update to was Article 8 under insurance, and actually we already have 5 retirees in this program. We are fire department employees and families can remain on the city's insurance plan as long as they pay the employee half and the employer portion. So it saves them the 2% COBRA insurance. Like I said, we have 5 retirees on this program, and it's consistent with state law. Next one is holidays. Previously, they're paid 11.2 hours for each holiday, recognized in the 12-month pay period, or in the last 12 pay periods. We usually pay at the end of September, which we're going to September 27th, I believe, is the holiday, is when they're going to receive their. But now they want to go with being paid their holiday pay as it accrues. And then Article 23, retirement. Currently, they're on a 10-year vesting period, and I think this was actually changed in 2016. They want to change it back to the 5-year vesting period, and that's consistent with all city employees. And then we added additional duties that they do. Quartermaster, driver, field training officers, honor guard commander, chaplains, and public education team leader. Basically, they get an additional 25 cents per hour if they're performing these duties. So we just added to it. And that was it.
All right, seems pretty straightforward. Council, do you have any questions?
Makes sense. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Okay, moving on. Section F is the written items.
Item number five is a resolution approving a price agreement, a master price agreement for utility supplies.
Good morning. Yes, this is just a, we bid on an annual basis for our regular bread and butter items. We received four bids, so we're awarding pieces of this to two different bidders, the low bidders in each category. So it's things like pieces of pipe, fittings, brass, all those materials that we use on a daily basis.
Understood. Anything out of the ordinary?
No.
No. I don't have any questions, Council?
Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing.
In, in Richard Petro? No?
Nope.
Fair.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Item six is a resolution approving an interlocal agreement with the Supervisor of Elections for the 2020 city election.
Good morning, Council. Virginia Smith. Standard interlocal agreement with our Supervisor of Elections to assist in conducting our elections. New this year, if Council adopts the ordinance next week on second read, will be the election campaign, electronic finance, campaign financing. So that's going to be an exciting opportunity for all of our candidates to have that. So this incorporates that language in there. So should Council not adopt that ordinance, then we will revert back to receiving the paper campaign finance reports as well, and we'll do an amendment to the interlocal if we have to. The other thing that's new this year with state law, I'm drawing a blank, sorry.
Something state law.
Yep.
Right.
That's okay. So it's a standard interlocal agreement that we have, and we can continue to work with a good relationship with our Supervisor of Elections for our elections.
This is very good for transparency. Do you see, as a professional in this type of things, any problems that could arise from it?
No. They've always been posted on our website. It was just a matter of knowing how to find them or just requesting them. So the transparency here is enhanced because it's just one click of the button for the electronic filing.
Very good.
For the candidates.
Thank you. I believe one of the changes in the screen pursuant to state law had to do with adding language in Spanish language.
Yes, thank you. That's what it was. Spanish translation is, so that will be a minimal fee to us should we have any referenda ballot language that needs to get added, and it pushes it to the next page. So in there is the Spanish translation costs associated with the election.
Gracias.
See you, amigo.
Thank you, Bill.
Excellent. I have no questions, Council, anything? Awesome. Thank you, Virginia. Okay, moving on. Item G is the second portion of our public participation. If anyone would like to address our Council, we have 3 minutes. Want to state your name for the record?
Yes, Louis McCroft. I only have one concern, and I think that's a big one, called cybersecurity. Do we have a reflection of that in the budget, an increase? Because I was told by several cousins, and I have a lot of cousins all over the country, and they complain, and each municipality is complaining about this cyber, ransom. And one of them got caught and had to pay. They had no choice. So not that it's that large, it's just that it's annoyance to have your computer system locked up. And I hate the heck to hear that the city of Palm Coast is computer system is locked up because some clown, wherever they or whoever they are, is doing that. So pay very close attention to that, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Louis. Next speaker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Fred Lewis, Palm Coast. A couple things. The ugliest street in Palm Coast, Cimarron Drive. Over the last 2 or 3 years ago, FPL came and installed new electric poles, and they left half poles next to the full poles. They've been there 2 or 3 years. I assume they're carrying cable or telephone lines or something, but they are ugly. Telephone poles are ugly to begin with. 1.5 are 1.5% uglier. So just to address that and understand what's happening there. Second thing, military budgets. I totally agree, but not only to scrub, having done military budgets myself, but it's okay to have an excess at the end that we can turn back in and not affect the budget for next year. And the third thing was on the baseball fields. There was an article yesterday that sort of backs up those baseball numbers in the news journal that the numbers for football and soccer are dropping for youth. Concussion concerns by the parents. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Well, all right, we will close public participation. Lewis, thank you very much for your cybersecurity concerns. I was privy to an email that Doug has sent around that kind of gave some precautionary steps that city employees and also everyone associated with the city should take before engaging in any type of acts that could potentially leave us vulnerable to those type of ransomware attacks. And I'm sure that Doug has a series of backups that are in place, and we are very much being proactive in this situation because I concur. It's not only the cost you incur, but it's the time that your systems are down, and then just the annoyance of having to go through all those steps. So I appreciate your concern.
I'll share that email with you, cousin.
Yeah, take these steps to avoid being ransomware.
Click on this link and it'll show you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, send the PDF. Mr. Lourdes, thank you very much for your concern about the half poles from FPNL. And I have noted that as well on Roberts Road over by Wadsworth Park when I traveled to the Publix over there in Wadsworth Park, that there are half FPL poles, and it looks like they do carry just the bottom line, which is probably fiber or telephone or something like that. But we are, you know, a pretty big deal at FPNL, so if we can, you know, advocate on the behalf of getting those half poles taken care of, that would be ideal. I don't see anything wrong with that unless the council has an objection to that. Half poles are ugly, I concur. And also, it's good and bad news to hear that there's, you know, people being pulled out of certain sports, but I'm glad to hear that they're still participating in sports, even though they're going to safer sports. So thank you very much for your comments. They're appreciated. Moving on to item H, discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. We'll start with Council Member Howell.
Just two things. Mr. Morton, I noticed that on Old Kings Road North, those areas that you and I had looked at before, you know, the divots on the side of that road, well, they're starting to be in need of more fill again. There's a couple of them that are really bad, you know. And again, the other thing, while we're talking about Old Kings Road North, we need to take a look at the median that is at the beginning of Old Kings Road North to where Old Kings Road North, just past Sulico Way, where it merges, but that median area, it's horrible looking. You go down Belterre and you see a lot of things that had been done to beautify the center area there, but this is one of the older parts of town, and I think, you know, maybe we can get our beautification committee to take a look and get some ideas on that. You know, it's not very big, but nonetheless, it does stand out because you're right on the interstate and you got the McDonald's there, you got Wendy's there, you got Chicken Fried, you know, Kentucky Chicken, and all those other places there that people pulling off the interstate will head to, and the same thing, you know, going to Cracker Barrel. So we may want to take a look down the line of trying to spiff that up a little bit more.
You mean shrubbing it?
Shrubbing it, but you got to be low shrubs up because that's, you don't, you
that
know,
was my safety.
For traffic. Yeah, right. So just take a look at it. You know, we do have a beautification committee, do we not? Or did we not have?
We said that I don't know, Illinois landscape.
I don't know. I thought, you know, some of the people have, you know, or maybe some of our citizen groups that volunteer to do that type of stuff would take a look at it.
Dangerous to have somebody.
Yeah, we're
working that. That's too dangerous. The traffic there is too much to have someone trying to beautify it.
You can't go too crazy on it, but you spiff it up a little bit. That's all I
Okay. Councilmember Cuff?
I have one item, and I see Jose came into the meeting toward the end because he was afraid I was going to miss this for good reason. I'm the council's appointed, nobody elected me, to be the council's representative to the Transportation Planning Organization, River and Sea. Apparently, we are in need of an alternate to serve as the city's representative on the River to Sea Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Did I get that right, Jose?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Mr. Dodzik, Andrew Dodzik, who is already serving on one of the other PTO committees.
He serves on the BPAC.
As an alternate. Has asked to be considered for this appointment, and I certainly would support that. For those of you that have never had the pleasure of attending a meeting of the board of the TPO, this is an organization so esoteric and Byzantine that it makes our meetings look like a music video or something by comparison. But I know the vice mayor, I think, was our representative last year, and I look forward to passing on this opportunity to serve to one of our other council members for 2020. But in the meantime, we need an alternate for the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and if Mr. Dodzik is willing to do it, he has my wholehearted support, and I will, unless the council has any other thoughts on the matter, I'll so notify the executive director of the TPO at our next board meeting, which is tomorrow. So if any of you need anything from, down on International Speedway Boulevard, then you know, I'll pick it up for you while I'm there.
I have no objections.
No, I'm sorry, I
planned on making that a much shorter item, but I'm so used to the way the TPO operates that it wound up being 10 minutes.
Councilmember Cuff, is this an appointment that needs to be done by the council?
I don't believe so. I think it's do we need to ratify this at the next meeting, Jose, or is this just something as the council's representative, I have the authority to...
The TPO bylaws lets the TPO board representative for a municipality to make the appointment for an alternate by letter.
Fine. So it's all my fault.
He has the power.
And they take their
so people. Let it be reconsidered.
They take their feedback seriously.
Yeah, but Mr. Dodzik has my gratitude. And should have all our gratitude. Unless somebody else wants to step up and volunteer.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Councilmember Brinquina?
That's it. I'm good today.
Excellent. And I'm only adding that I'm thankful that the first hurricane that is potentially going to be making landfall is an easy one for Mr. Morgan Field, and this is a good opportunity to kind of get our ducks in a row and kind of see where we're at. Pop fly of hurricanes, yes, if this was one of them. Agreed. Moving on to item I, discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Moving forward, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Fair. Okay, and discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
Your Honor, Vice Mayor Council, I've got four things. I'll keep them brief. First, on the cybersecurity epidemic, and I'm calling it an epidemic, it's a national problem. I won't obviously, for a lot of reasons, go into details, but yes, we've been working on this for actually about 2 months, beefing up our cybersecurity approaches, working with state and federal counterparts, and really making sure we're as robust as we can be. That being said, I think you're always vulnerable, but we're doing our best to limit our exposure and take responsible action towards limiting vulnerabilities and opening. On another note, just because I promised an update as we work, Florida Park Drive, the internal team meets this Thursday to go over kind of our first blush of the final timelines and preliminary actions and progress. So I'll be sharing that with council and with some of the residents who have asked for that information. So that hopefully is coming back to a workshop over the next 2 weeks. An not necessarily my item, but I just want to mention it because I was so excited when I saw it, though, being a fan of tennis in general, but Palm Coast's own Riley Opelka defeated the 11th player in the world, commandingly defeated the 11th player in the world, controlled the entire match yesterday in the first round of the U.S. Open. I just think that's tremendously exciting, and it was fun. I got to catch some highlights because I was at work while the game was going on, obviously. Caught some highlights in the evening. Fantastic. And then I've asked Chief Forte to come up. I don't want to elicit panic, of course, but to your point, hopefully this is the pop fly of hurricanes if it even gets here. But Dorian right now is about 1,665 miles from Palm Coast, moving slowly, winds at 50, but we are going to begin our preparation exercises. And so Jerry's just going to give us a short update on that.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Mayor and Council. Thank you, Mr. Morton. Just to give you a rough idea, the city is going to be monitoring conditions as Tropical Storm Dorian is expected to pass over Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic on Wednesday and Thursday this week. It should have significant wind shear as it passes over the high mountains and starting to head towards the southern United States. Where it's going, we don't know yet. There's a lot of uncertainty as it goes into the chain of Bahamas. So we keep that open as up for interpretation. There's still a lot of unknowns related to the path of the storm, and we want everyone to take necessary precautions when assessing their personal situation. This is a good opportunity to check on your insurance papers, local important papers, the documents that you keep at the house, checking prescription medications and ensuring your house is in order, making sure any extra debris goes out either on a Thursday or Friday pickup if you can get rid of it. Information from the National Hurricane Center in Miami and through the state response system will assist in our decision making. We'll work with our neighbors to ensure the communication remains open with the county and the state. City Customer Service Division is already fielding some calls regarding the storm. Sandbags will be available for pickup at City Hall and Utility Department on Utility Drive. Sandbag fill sites are set up at Wellfield Grade, Indian Trails, and Ralph Carter Park with sandbags there. They can come and fill up their own sandbags if they feel the need. If the determination is made that the city will experience some significant effects from the storm, Mr. Morton will advise City Council of a state emergency needs to be enacted by mayoral order, and the city manager will then get direction from the city mayor to oversee the operations in the city. City manager will establish emergency management operation team in the city with the department director serving in the representatives as the EM team. We will hold regular updates for the directors, and the information will be disseminated through all departments through an incident action plan every 12 to 24 hours. The IAP will cover vital information such as safety challenges, operational objectives for each operational period, pre-storm assignments, response during the storm, and post-storm operations in the immediate aftermath. 72 hours prior to any landfall, engineers will be looking at the water height of the freshwater canals. They will make the determination to lower the water levels well in advance of the storm, based on the height of the water and the anticipated rainfall. Communications will work with local news and radio to keep communications informed. They will also be actively involved in receiving information from Jonathan Lord at the Flagler County Emergency Operations Center for most accurate information. Customer service will also work closely with the communications division to be sure the correct message is being sent out. Each department will assess their current operations and look at staffing considerations to prepare for the 72 to 48 hours prior to the storm. Within 48 hours prior to any arrival, detailed schedules will be finalized with crews and make arrangements for families and personnel items to be secured. Fuel deliveries will be made for final top-offs at all locations. Any employee that is not assigned at any point will be assigned to some aspect of the response either during or immediately after, and will be assigned based on the need determined by the EM team. And within 24 to 12 hours of any possible arrival, city operations will run out of fire stations for the duration of the event, and customer service will start a skeletal crew to be sure communication remains active and easily transition into the new location during the event of the storm. We're all anticipating this storm to get into the mountains, and at that point we'll make the determination. All indications right now saying it's going to be tropical storm. It also looks like it's going to be more southern Florida than anything, but we can't pinpoint anything. So we're going to plan as if this was coming, get the cobwebs out, and make this a fresh dry run, and run this as if it was an actual event and see how it progresses. It's always good to get the cobwebs out on something early and wish we don't need it, as opposed to not training and wish we did. That's the basic information for now, and we'll make updates every day as the information comes out.
Okay. The only way to avoid an emergency is to be prepared, right? Perfect. Thank you very much. These guys are the best. I have no hesitancy that these guys are. Okay, is that all you had, Mr. Morton?
Yes, thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, we're out.